Around the earth, millions are finding comfort by strengthening their faith in the Bible and in its author, Jehovah God. If you would like to have Bible discussions free of charge at a time and place convenient for you, you are invited to give your contact information to one of the attendants or simply visit jw.org and fill out an online request for a Bible study. We will be happy to arrange for one of Jehovah's Witnesses to supply you with more details about the hope that the Bible provides. Every week, in over 120,000 congregations worldwide, Jehovah's Witnesses participate in a Bible study program using the Watchtower magazine. Please follow along in your personal copy of the Watchtower as Brother Asser Gazuli, a pioneer elder from the Grand Prairie Pinnacle Ridge Congregation, and those assisting him present a summary of this week's lesson.
Our program has convinced us that the future that remains as just before us is going to require great courage and great faith in Jehovah. We no doubt have asked ourselves several times this morning and throughout our convention, will I be prepared? Wouldn't you agree, friends, that a lot has to do with how we use the time left and the choices we make? Satan is not going to give up. He's going to try to trip us up. He's going to try and take away from us a most precious possession. What is that? It is our God-given freedom. Our watchtower today will help us to learn how we can avoid the traps that Satan is setting for us. The theme is taken from the April 1st Watchtower on page 8, and it's entitled, Serve Jehovah, the God of Freedom. Last week's and this week's articles helped us to identify what true freedom is, how we can attain it, how we can use this relative freedom to benefit ourselves and others, and above all, to bring honor to Jehovah by the choices we make. We commend you, friends, for being prepared to follow along. On page 8, you'll notice our theme scripture taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Where the Spirit of Jehovah is, there is freedom. Notice the three review questions that will be answered. In what ways specifically has God's Spirit liberated us? How can we avoid misusing our God-given freedom? And what can we do to make wise use of our freedom? Let's get right into our study. Paragraph 1, the A question asks, why were people in the Apostle Paul's day concerned with slavery and freedom? Sister Laframboise.
In Paul's day, the Romans prided themselves on being champions of justice and freedom, and yet much of the Roman Empire was built by slaves, to such an extent that at one point 30% of the population were slaves. They wanted nothing more than to be a free people. But the freedom the Apostle Paul spoke of was not a social or political reform.
That makes sense. Thank you so much. And the B question asks, to whom did Paul direct people so that they could gain true freedom? Brother Deans, please.
Paul and all early Christians were reminded to look to the source of true freedom. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, Jehovah is a spirit, and where the Spirit of Jehovah is, there is freedom. Rather than look to any human political movements, Paul and his fellow Christians worked hard to help others learn about the good news of the kingdom and the incomparable value of Jesus' ransom sacrifice. This is what would bring true freedom.
Thank you very much. Now, going back to our theme scripture, paragraphs 3 and 4 together, the A part asks, what led up to Paul's statement found at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17? Brother Tollefson, please.
Earlier in the same letter, at 2 Corinthians 3 and 7, Paul referred to the account of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai. On the mountain, Moses had been in the presence of an angel, and when he came down, rays of light were shining from his face so brightly that 2 Corinthians 3:7 says, the sons of Israel could not gaze at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face. The Israelites were scared, so Moses had to wear a veil. Paul then applied that situation to the Christian congregation by saying in verse 16, "When one turns to Jehovah, the veil is taken away."
That's an interesting comment. Thank you so much, Brother Tollefson. And those words, you know, Paul spoke of a veil and turning to Jehovah. What do they mean? Well, pay attention to the answer to the B question now. What must we do to enjoy the freedom that comes from Jehovah? Sister Post, please.
Last week, we learned that Jehovah is the ultimate authority on what are just, necessary, and reasonable limits. To enjoy the freedom that comes from Jehovah, we need to turn to him by developing a personal relationship with him. In referring to the Israelites, Hebrews 3:10 says, "They went astray in their hearts, and they have not come to know my ways." It was as if they were wearing a veil that limited their focus only to the physical aspects of freedom. So to avoid making the same mistake that they did, we need to avoid that and broaden our view and see Jehovah's dealings with us in a spiritual way rather than a physical or fleshly one.
Thank you very much. So now again, with our focus on our theme scripture, paragraph 5, the A question asks, what sort of freedom does Jehovah's Spirit bring? Brother Bosgaard.
It brings more than just liberation from physical slavery. The Spirit of Jehovah also brings liberation from slavery to sin and death, as well as from false religions and their many practices. And so for this reason, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans that we would be set free from such things. But he also goes on to show that there is a wonderful hope, and that is a gift of everlasting life. And all these things are something that humans can never, ever accomplish.
Thank you very much. The B question, how do we know that physical bondage need not diminish the freedom Jehovah provides? Sister Bosgaard, please.
Well, many of our brothers and sisters have been imprisoned physically, but they certainly weren't imprisoned mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. We have the example of Nancy Ewan and Harold King, who used their time in prison to give a witness and to maintain loyalty. Brother King, who spent 4.5 years in solitary confinement in a Chinese prison, summed it up really nicely when he said, "There are no guns, no walls, and no prison bars that can keep the Spirit of God from reaching his people."
What a beautiful example. Thank you so much. And now, friends, what questions do we need to answer? Sister Balachu, please.
Are we going to answer how can we show that we treasure our freedom? And what can we do to make wise use of this freedom? So these are very important questions because the answer shows if we truly value the freedom Jehovah gives us.
Thank you very much. So true. And our first subheading now will help us to value our God-given freedom. It'll examine how we can show that we value our freedom, but also how we can avoid misusing it. Paragraph 6 takes us back to the nation of Israel. How did the Israelites show a lack of appreciation for the freedom that Jehovah gave them? Brother Podolsky.
Because I'm an immigrant to Canada, I really appreciate the freedom we have here to worship Jehovah, but also to share our faith with others. Many brothers and sisters in the country of Poland, where I come from, were under ban for decades, just like the Israelites were in slavery for hundreds of years. They existed with their basic foods, but they had no freedom to worship Jehovah until they were freed by God's power. Shortly, however, they start complaining. And in the book of Numbers, we read in verse 6 where they said, "We see nothing at all except for this manna." Well, how foolish that was of them to complain and to long for the cucumbers and their watermelons. It would be just like me longing for the pierogies and the cabbage rolls that my mom used to make, and will be willing to give up the freedom I have to worship Jehovah here.
Thank you for your personal expression. How sad to give up opportunities to see what Jehovah is doing for us. Now, what can help us avoid that kind of thinking? Let's look at the read scripture in paragraph 7. Sister Nelson, please.
Working together with him, we also urge you not to accept the undeserved kindness of God and miss its purpose.
And the question, thank you, how did Paul act in harmony with his counsel found at 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, and how can we do likewise? Brother Nelson, please.
Paul at one time suffered because of feelings of being captive to sin and death, yet he valued the sacrifice of Jesus and the freedom that it brought him from that slavery to sin and death. That's why he urges us at 2 Corinthians 6 and 1 not to miss its purpose. Paul appreciated and never took for granted this amazing freedom. Paul's example should move us all to show that same appreciation each and every day, thanking Jehovah because he has liberated us also from that bondage to sin and death. This too allows us to serve him with a clean conscience, which also gives us all great joy.
Thank you, Brother Nelson. Let's take note now of the warning in our read scripture for paragraphs 8 and 9 together. 1 Peter 2 and 16. Sister Peronto, please.
Be as free people, using your freedom, not as a cover for doing wrong, but as slaves of God.
Thank you. Our A part for paragraphs 8 and 9. What warning did the Apostle Peter give about using our freedom? Brother Malpass.
Peter here warns us about the misuse of free will, highlighting the dangerous attitude that could easily cause us to excuse wrong conduct, perhaps viewing it as our right. In addition, Satan's world promotes choices in dress and grooming, entertainment and recreation, encouraging us to put these ahead of spiritual pursuits. How much better to courageously heed Peter's wise advice and subject ourselves to Jehovah as his obedient servants.
Thank you. And the B question, what dangers confront us today? Sister Malpass, please.
This world promotes the idea that unless we follow the popular course, we'll be unsuccessful and unhappy, which can lead us to misuse our freedom to make choices that only gratify our fleshly desires. I personally have experienced the disappointment that comes from pursuing higher education with the idea of attaining a secure future, when in fact my security and my happiness came when Jehovah taught me what true success is.
Thank you very much for your personal experience. Paragraph 9 ended with an interesting question. Did you notice that? It said, what should young people and parents bear in mind? What do we need to bear in mind when exercising our freedom to make personal choices? Brother Westgard, please.
At times, we could be inclined to use Paul's words to the Corinthians to defend the choices we make, where he wrote, "Why should my freedom be judged by another person's conscience?" It is good for us to remember, though, that as God's people, our personal freedom is connected to our worship. Paul also reminded the Corinthians, all things are lawful, but not all things build up. This helps us to understand that there are more important things to consider than our own personal preference when making decisions. Although our conscience may allow us to make certain choices, this may not always be in our best interest or the best interest of our brothers and sisters.
What an important reminder. Thank you. Now, friends, let's see how this picture relates to what we just discussed. What can we learn from this picture, Sister Westgard, please?
Well, we see a young man who has used his freedom of choice and decided to pursue higher education. He looks so happy at his graduation, possibly thinking he will have a career that brings him higher pay and all the things he's ever wanted. The reality is seen in the next three pictures. He's working long hours late into the night. His hard work doesn't guarantee him his position in a volatile world, and he's let go from his job. His bills don't stop coming, and we see him turning to alcohol to cope with his stress. His choices did not bring him happiness.
Thank you for those excellent observations. Friends, we've learned that Jehovah has given us this freedom at great personal cost. How sad it would be for us to take it for granted or to misuse it. Let's look at our next subheading now, wisely using our freedom to serve God. Paragraph 11, for what purpose have we been set free? Sister Belaski, please.
Well, at 1 Peter 2:16, we are warned about the misuse of our freedom. But he also brings out the alternative way of how we can live as slaves of God. Now, since we've been freed from enslavement to sin and death through the ransom of Jesus Christ, we do well to ask ourselves, how should I use this freedom that God has given me? The objective is that we live a life of full dedication as slaves of God. Then we have the assurance that we would have a much better life today and of everlasting life in the future.
Thank you so much. Now, paragraph 12, what example did Noah and his family set for us? Sister Stanky, please.
We need to protect ourselves from misusing our God-given freedom. Noah and his family are such good examples for us, as they too lived in a world full of violence and immorality. Rather than being distracted by the world's influence around them, they kept focused on their God-given assignments. Like Noah, when it comes to our God-given assignments, we too need to do just so. And by being absorbed in spiritual pursuits now, we can, as Hebrews 11:7 says of Noah, become an heir of the righteousness that results from faith.
And thank you for bringing out that beautiful scripture. To introduce paragraph 13, we're going to have the read scripture read in Luke chapter 4. Sister Hislop, please.
Jehovah's Spirit is upon me because he anointed me to declare good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and a recovery of sight to the blind, to send the crushed ones away free, to preach Jehovah's acceptable year.
Thank you. And now our question for paragraph 13. What commission did Jesus receive and in turn pass on to his followers, Brother Hislop?
I appreciate the importance of Luke chapter 4 to continue our assignment to preach the good news, even though it can be challenging. When I think of Jesus' example, how he helped people to get to know Jehovah, to worship him, how he declared the good news to those that were enslaved by this system and who were blinded by Satan. And yet, through all of that, despite the challenges and the indifferences that Jesus faced in this hostile world, he continued to fulfill his God-given commission. What I've learned from that is we need to follow the same example, that of Jesus, by using our freedom to be busy in the disciple-making work.
Well said. Thank you so much, Brother Hislop. You'll notice, friends, too, in paragraph 13, at the end, it ends with a question that each of us needs to consider. Can I use my freedom to give greater support to the kingdom work? Now, let's see how many have answered that question. Paragraphs 14 and 15 are together. What kind of response to the preaching work is seen among Jehovah's people? Sister Asher.
Many of Jehovah's servants have taken note of how close we really are to the end of this system, and they have made sacrifices in their life in order to make the ministry their priority, whether it be in their home territories or if they're able to move to a place with a greater need. It is so encouraging to see Psalms 1, 10, and 3 being fulfilled when each year we see more and more who offer themselves willingly, making the average number of pioneers over 1.1 million worldwide.
Thank you, Sister Asher, for bringing out that scripture, too. What has helped these brothers and sisters to make wise use of their freedom? Brother Asher.
Well, we see a wonderful example from John and Judas. They made themselves available for 30 years of sacred service in numerous countries. Pioneer Service School played a big part in encouraging them to keep their lives simple. And when they were dealing with difficulties such as learning a new language, adjusting to new culture, and enduring difficult climates, they found that praying and relying on Jehovah was what helped them joyfully succeed. They concluded by saying, "Now I understand better what James 4:8 means, Draw close to God, and he'll draw close to you.
Thank you for bringing out that scripture. Thank you for those comments. So friends, let's turn back to the opening image in our watchtower and see what we can learn from it. Sister Perot, please.
Since we have this glorious freedom, thousands are using it wisely to give greater support to the kingdom work. Many are joining the ranks of the pioneer work. Others have applied for SKE. Some are working for the LDC or learning a new language, and even moving where the need is greater. Although sacrifices are part of full-time service, this by far pales in comparison to the joy and the blessings we feel, which is evident by our young sister's smiling face.
Thank you so much. How true. Now, what if we're asking ourselves and thinking about our circumstances and they're very limited? How have thousands with limited circumstances used their freedom wisely? Sister Rosa Duke, please.
Well, there are many brothers and sisters who maybe can't serve full-time right now, but there are opportunities that they can seize, such as short-term construction projects. For example, over 27,000 volunteered for the Warwick construction. They choose to put their lives on hold and sacrifice personal pursuits to enjoy this privilege. Our videos on JW.org give one example of how one family of five worked together to allow the father to go. The one son even selling a valuable possession to help his dad be able to go. That's a beautiful use of their God-given freedom and brings so much praise and honor to our God Jehovah.
What a heartwarming experience. Thank you. Now our final paragraph, paragraph 17, what glorious future awaits those who now use their God-given freedom wisely? Sister Krishna, please.
If we, by our actions and choices both now and in the future, show we are using our freedom to serve Jehovah to the fullest extent possible, we can have the prospect of enjoying all the blessings Jehovah has promised that come with being delivered from the effects of sin and death, or as Romans 8:21 says, set free from the enslavement to corruption, and eventually, if we are faithful, being restored and have the glorious freedom of the children of God.
Thank you so much, and for making that scripture so clear. So friends, let's think about our personal answers to these final review questions. The first, in what way specifically has God's Spirit liberated us, Brother Sorley?
Well, when we come into a close personal relationship with Jehovah, we receive freedom from sin and death, as well as freedom from false worship and the many practices that come with that. That freedom is something that can't be taken away by anyone as well. Like Sister Nancy Ewan said, even when she had no physical freedom, her spiritual worth granted her full freedom.
Thank you so much. Our second question, how can we avoid misusing our God-given freedom? Brother Peronto.
Well, all things are lawful, or in other words, there may be instances where scriptural commandments are not violated, where we can be free to personal choice. But as the scripture goes on to say, not all things build up. So that's the main point. Whether we're making decisions regarding higher education, recreation, entertainment, dress and grooming, we want to make sure that our decisions build up the congregation. Thus, we can avoid misusing our freedom.
Thank you so much. Very good. Finally, our third question, what can we do to make wise use of our freedom? Sister Boyce, please.
We can take an honest look at our life routine and ask ourselves, how can I serve Jehovah more fully? Maybe we see an opportunity to expand our ministry or use what abilities we have in Jehovah's service. The blessing of being real children of God in true freedom forever is beyond our imagination. So we can really show our gratitude to Jehovah by using our freedom wisely now.
What a beautiful last comment. Thank you so much. So friends, how can our study benefit us personally? In our watchtower, we've been reminded of the need to make wise use of our freedom by making wise choices. As we go home today, remember the words in our theme scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 gave the instruction to turn to Jehovah. And verse 17, the promise was we'd find freedom. Remember the good examples in our study who did that, including the sister in our opening picture. They didn't get where they were by accident. They all had one thing in common. What is that? They took daily steps in the right direction to strengthen their relationship with Jehovah, to look for opportunities to expand their ministry. Now think of our personal choices each day. Ask yourself, are my choices helping me to turn to Jehovah, to draw closer to Him, to walk in the direction that His Spirit is guiding and pointing to? Or are we allowing ourselves to walk in a different direction, doing things our own way? Maybe, friends, we've walked in a different direction. Maybe we've made choices that we now regret. What then? Don't look back and don't give up. Turn to Jehovah, like the scripture said. Start making decisions that draw us closer to Him. Among them, look for opportunities to expand our ministry. Remember this, the closer our relationship is with Jehovah, the clearer wise choices will become. What could be more important than to use the remaining time, friends, to use our freedom to help others find true freedom? Please remember, friends, that we will never get a second chance to make wise use of the time left in this system. May we show by our daily choices how much we love Jehovah and how much we value the freedom He has given us.
Thank you very much, Brother Gazzulli, and all who provided those well-prepared comments.